fun to have a little ribbon going on, too. I like that. The next section of our study involves family, the marriage relationship, and parenting, followed then by how we ought to behave in the workplace. So chapter 5, verses 22 through the end, and then chapter 6 into verse 9 really cover the concept of marriage, the aspect of marriage, parenting, and relationships in the workplace. Following verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. This submitting one, you know, is a brother to brother, brother to sister in the church. It's describing our relationship in the church. And I have a good friend back in Ohio who would often kind of joke around, you know, when you thanked Warren Tripp for something, he would say, "No, thank you." And if you were to hold the door for Warren, he would insist on holding the door for you. You know, there is a passage that says we're to outdo each other in love. And Warren, jokingly, but he nicely displayed that concept. You know, almost 100% of the time, if you thanked him for something, no, thank you. And then you'd go back, no, thank you. And you'd go back and forth. Well, that's a biblical concept, to try to outdo each other with not show, but with genuine love. And so this submitting yourselves is part of this attitude towards one another. Well, ladies, here we are today, married ladies. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Last verse in the chapter then also addresses the wife and her role. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So you can see that today's study is on the role of a wife, and I'd like to talk with you this morning under the title of The Sound of Submission. Ladies, do you have an example of a submissive wife that you look to? I'm sure, been my simple observation, at least in public and sometimes in homes, there are ladies in this room that are exemplary in this area of submissiveness to their wives, to their husbands. And what a joy to see people simply living in accordance to the Word of God and filling that role. What I'd like for you to do, and maybe you've done this, is to think more of the church as your model for submission. How does the church sound as she submits to her Savior? So I'd like to talk about these things and try to bring some practical insights as to what submission is and what it's not. By the way, we're on a 3-Sunday school lesson cruise through family, the wife's role, the husband's role, and parents' role. Another time when there maybe is an opportunity to teach on a series on family, it would be stretched out, but we'll take it as a study through this epistle of Ephesians on a 3-week. We see here the command, the reasons, and the illustration, or if you will, the what, why, and how of biblical submission. The command is given in verse 22. Wives, by the way, the verb in the original language is counting on the verb in verse 21. There's no word submit in verse 22. It's referring back to the verb in verse 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You probably have heard the term, and I'm certain that many are familiar with the basics here for sure, and some of the finer points of this attitude and way of thinking. Submit means to arrange under, to yield, to obey. It's a voluntary yielding, a following another's lead. And because of the thinking in our world today and challenges in Christian homes at times, I'd like to share some thoughts this morning that help us to come to the Word. Submission and headship are often misunderstood roles in our world today. And where there's so many breakdowns in family and marriage, and there's harshness and domineering on one side or the other, there's much controversy, and it becomes very cloudy as to what is the wife's role, what is the husband's role in the home. I'd like to suggest to you, and if I could reach out and grab everybody's shirt sleeve this morning and pull it closer to the Word, it would go something like this. Please, there's an error that you and I must avoid. We must avoid defining a biblical principle by how that principle is seen wrongly in society today. When you know, the word doormat somehow has combined with submission, and when you look at it biblically, they don't go together at all. But somehow that word comes up, doormat. You got to be a doormat to be. That's not what the Bible is teaching. And so we can't. Well, the error goes on this way. We make an error when we define submission by bad experiences. And we say, well, submission must be this, or it can't be that. And there are scars, and there are divorce, and I don't mean to bring back memories, but domestic restraints and other kinds of things that are, you know, all too personally felt. So when we hear, I'd like to suggest something. I don't know that this is the case, but I'd like to suggest something. When we hear the word submission, or verses like this, defensive walls can go up. And may I suggest that can become a habit on this topic or others. As we hear, as Christians, we can become defensive about certain topics in Scripture and miss the biblical. There's two things that I hope to help you see. The biblical role as it's correct and the basis for that role. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 are the basis for biblical submission for a wife. Accepted in the beloved, seated in heavenly places in Christ, redeemed, chosen, on and on. That's the basis. Walk worthy of that in your role as a wife. When you see that as a basis, that's a firm foundation to live on. You know, how can I defend, some lady might say, how can I defend myself against others who think I ought to be a doormat? Or that kind of idea. May I urge us that we avoid that error this morning. God himself is the originator of both headship and submission. His word explains and clarifies how marriage works and how it works best. Please, take off the glasses of bad experiences and delight to know God and his way for marriage through careful understanding of his word. Headship is talked about in Ephesians, in Genesis 2. I'll get Ephesians on my mind. In Genesis 2, man was created first, and after he named the animals and didn't find a suitable helper, God took a rib from Adam and made Eve. And that beautiful, unashamed union was made in the presence of God. And there was a role for Adam and a role for Eve. And God, after the curse, Genesis 3:16, your desire shall be to your husband, God told Eve. It seems that one of the struggles that ladies have today is a desire to lead And God predicted that way back in Genesis 3:16. So there's a challenge culturally, naturally, to miss this. Look at submission with me, Philippians 2. This is an astounding example of submission. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, believers, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So our Savior is the supreme submissive example to the Father. Certainly in the Trinity there is headship and submission. Where the Father sent the Son, who willingly, voluntarily follows the Father, came to earth. There's several descents of submission here. He was willing to be made as a man in the form of a servant, and then being found, verse 8, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto, there's this final descent, if you will, of submission, became obedient to death. Well, don't think about death in relation to the marriage in submission, okay? But see the picture of submission. See the picture of it and the illustration of it in our Savior. Back to Ephesians. You know, if we could try, and again in this short time, to describe what submission is not. It's not doormat. It's not abused. It's not servant. The husband is instructed to be a servant. But it's not, you're going to serve, ladies, but it's not just, I got to be a servant. It's not passive. Submission is not passive. Consider Proverbs 31. Is that woman who is elevated as a prime example of a godly wife, is she passive? Not for a minute. Very much engaged, a lot of initiative, a lot of responsibility. So there is this submission. What is, if I could try to describe what submission is, I think if I could say it in two words, it would be to be a respecting follower. A respecting follower. The word respect would come out of this idea of submit. Follow comes more strongly out of that. But when you get to verse 33, the wife see that she reverence her husband. There's the word that we would get the word respect from. So a respecting follower. May I continue? What is submission? A respecting follower who is very active in marriage in the home. Would it be wrong to share a personal example? Andrew, before he went to Norway, said to Amanda, I don't know exactly how he worded it, but it was something like, make sure, you know, she's sick, so it's hard to be active, but invest yourself in good things. So she went out and bought a house. Short story. Very literally. Very literally. Our daughter, Andrew's wife, who struggles to make a phone call to get records from a doctor's office, went through all of the steps in submission to her husband and with the limited communication to meet with the realtor to decide whether to rent, to buy, lots of communication. Well, it was limited, but it to buy a house. It had to have 3 bedrooms. So his sister and brother would have a place to stay on college breaks, and they're there now. And there was wisdom in that. And, you know, we others of you could share examples of taking initiative and doing things that still is very much submissive to the leadership of your husband. But it in no way implies passive or, you know, have to be told what to do today. None of that is involved in this thing. So don't err with the glasses of bad experiences and how can I protect myself. And I think there's room. By the way, let me talk about how to protect ourselves. The Bible teaches ladies to be submissive, except when there is illegal activity and abuse. What does the Bible teach? And I'm sorry, I don't have the verses on the tip of my tongue. What does the Bible teach for a lady who is suffering abuse? Call 911. God has given authority to civil governments to protect against illegal activity. And that's to be used. Talk to the other men or the pastor in the church and bring accountability to a harsh, mean husband. This is not, and you know, we're starting to hear about some of these things where ladies have gone through terrible, terrible things, and then now they're finding it, they can speak, and when they speak about it a little and they encourage others, it's a relief to them, and they're actually helping others. It seems that one of the concepts of a lady who is abused is that she feels that she is a strong woman trying to help a very troubled man. And it's very risky to leave. In fact, the statistics show that he might come after her with lethal force if she leaves. So it's a very difficult in those more intense kinds of settings. But the church is here to help where it can, and the law is here. I've sat across the table and I've said, please call 911. And I've heard other men say the same kind of thing. And I think you're getting what the Bible is saying here. It's not be a doormat. It's not suffer abuse. It's not go through all those things. It's to be an active, responsible, but respecting follower in the home. Careful Bible study encourages our own spiritual growth. We have to depend on the Lord to help us to fill our roles. The big idea of the book of Ephesians seems to be that of the salvation work that God has done so that we can grow and be all he wants us to be, that he is glorified in that process. And in our lives, in our roles as married couples. Live according to the spiritual wealth that God has given in Christ. May I say it this way? Wives, be submissive. You've been redeemed. Wives, be submissive. You're highly favored. You're accepted in the Beloved. Remember that word accepted in the King James? You're accepted in the Beloved? The word accepted comes from the verb for grace. It's like you are graced. And another place where it's translated is where the angel spoke to Mary and said, you who are highly favored. That's that same word. You are highly favored in Christ. Wives, be submissive because you're seated in heavenly places. This is the basis. This gives confidence. This gives, God is on my side. I can forbear with some disagreements this week. Be submissive. You're alive in Christ. Let me just take this a little further, because if it's not an experience of anyone here, great, but you might be able to share this with someone. Because sometimes we can be so defensive, these walls go up, we seek to build our own fortress of defense. What happens then? You're not enjoying, or that person is not enjoying, the great spiritual wealth God has given. We've seen it in people's lives. They're a wreck because they're trying to be okay, and God doesn't want us to be okay depending only on ourselves. Look at Peter. How long did he walk on the water? For as long as he trusted the Lord. When he tried to figure it out for himself, that's common, right? When we try to figure out marriage and how this is supposed to work, and we try to do it on our own selves, God wants us to sink because he wants us to do it by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin. Sometimes, can I say it again? I don't have anybody in mind here, but if it helps us to minister to others, sometimes we need to move out of our own cardboard shelter and rest in our Heavenly Father's provision. He's got this. He really does. And I'm thinking of all of chapters 1 through 3, and that's a good thing to refer to and refer others to. We don't need to describe, or we don't need other people to compliment us for our physical features, like the world feels a need to have their love tank filled and all that. We need to go to Ephesians 1, 2, 3 and reflect on the provisions that our Heavenly Father has made that are eternal, spiritual, settled. We need to be established, strengthened, and settled in His Word. It's snowing out. The command. Wives, submit. The reasons why, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The headship of Christ, and more of that is described here in these verses. It's God's order for the church. It's a rank. Rank and order. A chain of command, if you will. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The headship of the husband, of the home, God's order for the family. It's meant to function a certain way. May I say to you, 21 is reciprocal between believers, but not in the marriage relationship. How many times have we heard husbands are to submit to their wife and their wife to their husband? Who's teaching that? Verse 21 talks about, in general to the believers, we're to be submissive to each other. And then it says, wife, be submissive to your husband. Why? It's based on the design that God has given and the headship of the man in the family and the relationship of the wife to be a respectful follower. If we want to make people feel good, we might say, well, yep, you have to submit to each other. That's not what it's teaching. It's teaching wives to submit because of an existing order that God has given. Husbands are to be loving now. That's next week, so don't take this, you know, apart from that. But I've heard that taught in other places, and I think, wow. Also, we see the Savior, 23, even as Christ, the middle of the verse, is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So the connection here is, wife, fill your role in this area of being a respectful follower because Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. He brings to us the foundation to live from. God's provision for spiritual wealth to live unto. Now, I want you to see the little word as unto in the end of verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. In my notes, I have a picture of two stick figures. One is the wife and the other is the husband. And the wife is submitting herself to her husband with her eye on her Savior. As unto the Lord. For him. Does that make sense? And so as you look at the concept, and sometimes you might say, well, I'm not sure he's approaching me, my husband, the right way right now, and his attitude is a little off, but for my Savior's sake, I'll be submissive. That might be more money than I'm willing to spend right now, and I'm not sure he's seeing everything the right way, but I'll be submissive. There are times this obviously bring things up. And not, you know, just say, yeah, okay, whatever. But if you get the concept, as unto the Lord, be submissive to your husband as unto, with one eye on the Savior. Well, here's the illustration. We've seen the command to be submissive. The reasons why is because of the headship that God has designed for the church and in the home. The illustration in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. So be guarded against looking to society or bad experiences and look to the church and its following of Christ. By the way, this does not elevate the husband That's not the point of this text. Rather, it simply illustrates the role the wife is to have toward her husband, the way the church submits to the Savior. So think about your role, ladies. Who is your example for submission and being a submissive wife? Is it the role of a mother who is often leading, as a mother would and should, directing in relation to your husband, is and sometimes scolding, you know, one with authority? Is that what you look at for your role? Is that what you picture in your role, the role of a mother in relationship with your husband? According to this text, you would say, well, probably shouldn't be if it is. You know, we could think of others, and it would be interesting if we had time, but the other I thought of was a boss, you know, a manager, a supervisor. Is that the role to follow? Well, no, it isn't. Sometimes, too, and I may bring this up next week, is it a bad example that we try to counter in our role as husband or wife? That can get us into trouble, can't it? Without biblical wisdom and perspective, that can get us into trouble. I can't be like Aunt so-and-so, or I can't be like the way this person treated their husband, because that's what we can go too far or be off. We got to follow the example the Lord has given. I haven't thought this through all the way, but how does the church sound in her relationship to the Savior and relationship to His leading? Don't we often say, Lord, lead us as a church? Aren't we constantly seeking the will of God in what we do? What church is living on its own initiative, giving any direction at all to the Lord? Rather, we're sensitive, aware, desiring, following respectfully our Savior's leading. Do you see that, ladies? Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. I'd like to suggest to you that the church sounds submissive when she's praying, Lord, what would you have us to do regarding this building? Lord, what would you have us to do regarding the budget? Lord, please lead us in this selection of a missionary, other kinds of things. Please direct us. That sound is the sound of submission. It shows sometimes, let me give you an illustration. Sometimes we have to have a class like this or something to help us stop and think, evaluate ourselves. Do you realize how you sound, ladies, in the way you speak to your husband? Let me encourage you, out of this text of Scripture, to evaluate the way you sound. I'm speaking of tone again. The tone of our voice, your voice in this case. Maybe church is over, and I've seen this recently displayed in good ways. So, but think about how this works. At the end of a service, the husband is still talking. He's unaware of certain things. He's enjoying some fellowship and friendship, and the wife is saying, I have things to do. He's not very task-oriented. He's not really dialed in. I've just got things to do. The weather's going to be awful. We're going to have a bad ride home. How does she say, honey, are you ready to go? You know, that the sound of her voice. Let me take you to one more passage. Some what-ifs may have come up. What if he's not a leader? What if the wife is more analytical than her husband? What if he's not saved? Please go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you don't have this verse underlined, may I urge you to underline it and memorize it and share it with others. Because this is helpful in our day and age. Likewise, ye wives, verse 1. There's a verse for husbands, too, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands. We'll get to that next week, Lord willing. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without word, won by the conversation or the behavior of the wives. You're familiar with that verse, right? So what if he's disobedient? What if he's unsaved? That answers that question. What if he's a Christian living in sin? That answers some of that, at least, by your good behavior. The word likewise, you want some homework to look at? Goes back to the Savior in verse 21. Let me just get you started on this. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow, likewise wives, likewise husbands. Let me finish here. 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but here it is, committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You can stand in challenging times knowing God loves you and is on your side. The sound of submission is the sound of the church toward her Lord, following his lead. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word and the opportunity to spend with your people. They're precious, Lord. We thank you for the joy of our church, and we pray for your richest blessing on our pastor as he comes to preach and lead us in the service. In Jesus' name.